And hello, everybody. This is Terry Hill. I'm with Tracy Morton and Nicole Clement. And this is welcome to our first, this is actually the very first virtual knowledge group call. And one of the things we want to say up front is that this is somewhat experimental, but I think it's very consistent with a lot of what is happening in other industries, et cetera. And that is that what we find is that whether it's hospitals or nurses or whatever, people tend to learn best from other folks that very much like them. In other words, that's the whole concept of peer support, and kind of to complement traditional research, which will still go on, as we know. Increasingly, we think it's important to have knowledge groups or virtual knowledge groups to be able to capture knowledge in a more timely basis, because, as you know, research sometimes takes a year or two or even longer if it's medical research to really be published and actually get out there. So part of what we're striving for is to capture knowledge, to create knowledge, and to support folks that basically are doing interesting things on particular topics. So those of you that are on this call, and we're going to ask you to introduce yourself in just a minute, basically have indicated you're interested in kind of sharing knowledge on emergency medical services, particularly in regard to the Medicare Flex program. And again, we see this as something to complement the traditional education that we're doing, to complement the traditional research that we're doing as well. And I guess bottom line is, this is your group, and we are not going to be prescriptive. We have offers, we have a certain amount of support that we have available to you, and we're more than happy to provide that support. But in terms of, you know, agendas, in terms of leadership, we'll be looking to you folks on the call to be a part of that. So I'm personally really excited about it. I just think it's a nice supplement to the other things we're doing. We recognize also that we're all short of time. So we want to make sure that there's value here, you know, that it's worth your time to come in. We've got a couple of different perspectives. I think I'll ask Tracy to talk a little bit more about that. But in essence, we want to create value here, and we want to be supportive to you folks, and we want to get your ideas, particularly on this first call, about what works best, what sort of things you'd like to focus on. You're going to see that we have some you know, ability to bring together people to talk, but we're also going to launch kind of web-based chat rooms to accomplish this as well. So welcome very much. And what I'd like to do now is have you guys introduce yourself so we know who's on the call.
Okay, I'll go ahead and go. This is Carlene Andriola. I'm with the Nevada Office of Rural Health. I have pre-hospital experience and hospital experience. I'm a registered nurse, and I work as an EMS coordinator.
Okay, great.
Hi, this is Crystal Barris with the Michigan Center for Rural Health.
Crystal, do you have a background in EMS? Just tell us a little bit about yourself, because the knowledge groups are kind of intended to get to know each other a bit.
Here at the Center for Rural Health, I handle our EMS education.
Okay.
We broadcast webinars and video conferences to rural EMS for their CE credits, and I handle all that.
Okay, thanks.
This is Larry Broner with the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health, and I'm the Flex Coordinator here and have been for about 10 years, and Lisa gave me EMS as one of my responsibilities, so I'm have been learning a lot about it and made some, I think, interesting changes here in Pennsylvania. Soon we'll have level 4 trauma here in Pennsylvania, and so made some, I think, some significant moves for what most people consider a more urban state, including rural, into the EMS system here in Pennsylvania.
Great, Larry.
This is Shelley Dant, and I am the Flex Coordinator here in Oregon.
Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
This is Dale Gibbs, Good Samaritan Hospital in Kearney, Nebraska. I'm a coordinator for Critical Access Hospital Network, 14 hospitals, and a telehealth network, and I have a long-standing EMS background as a volunteer and paid paramedic, too.
Okay, great. I'm glad you could join us. And Dale is also a member of our task advisory committee. And let me just explain up front that the people on these calls will be Flex or state office folks or members of our advisory committee. That's kind of the group that we've indicated. If you would like from time to time to have somebody else join, that would certainly be fine. We'd like to do it by invitation, though, and on, you know, unless you guys decide you really want somebody permanently, the thought was that we would, the people we bring to this call would be the Flex folks and our advisory committee folks. Anybody else on the call?
I hope I'm not repeating myself. I think I got cut off. I cut myself off before. This is Kevin Jacobson from the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. I'm program manager working with rural communities.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
This is Edwina Ducker here from Maine. I'm the Flex coordinator, and we use Flex dollars to support trauma system development and a pilot study on community paramedicine in a pilot area in Maine. We have just started as part of the New England Performance Improvement Collaboration. We have had our first meeting of bringing EMS from the different New England states together to talk about sharing data and developing quality measures. We had our first call a couple of weeks ago, and I'm really keen to learn more about how to develop quality measures with EMS.
Okay, terrific. Thanks, Edwina.
This is Megan Meacham with the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, and EMS is one of my issue areas in my portfolio for the office.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. You know, our intention is that this group be supportive to Megan as well. It's kind of an extension of task. Our job is to support you folks and to support the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy. So almost, you know, by an extension, we would ask that you guys be available to support Megan and her work with the federal office.
Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Melinda Merrill from the South Carolina Office of Rural Health. I am the Flex coordinator, and I coordinate beyond Flex. We have a couple of other EMS programs. Mainly, we do a good bit with education for rural providers in EMS, and we have also are embarking on more collaborative efforts with our neighbor to the north, North Carolina.
Okay, great.
I'll take that as my cue. This is Matt Womble from North Carolina. I have a background in EMS as a paramedic and background in hospitals too. And basically here in North Carolina, work as the Flex coordinator among a couple other things, and have the opportunity to work as a co-chair for NOSOR on the Joint Committee for Rural Emergency Care with the National Association of EMS Officials. So I hear a lot of familiar folks on the line, and glad to be a part of this.
And actually, this was actually Matt's suggestion. Tracy and I went out to North Carolina, and so we want to give him credit. if this works especially, it's Matt's idea.
If it doesn't work, it's also Matt's idea.
And he suggested that he was relatively new at the time. Maybe you could speak for yourself, Matt, on this. But he just said it would really be good to have a group of folks that might be available. And I know NOSOR has groups, and we do not want to compete with them. But this will be very specifically to more of the Flex programs in that regard. But, you know, as we thought about it, it seemed to make a lot of sense. And so EMS was the one that he suggested, and we're pleased to be able to roll it out here.
Well, let me add on to that, Terry, just for my sense of peace of mind, I guess, too. The what I'm excited about with this concept that TASC is rolling forward is that it is not duplicative of the Joint Committee of Rural Emergency Care, which is really, and I've said this before and we'll say it again, The Joint Committee on Rural Emergency Care is one of the most dynamic groups that I've probably ever been a part of. It's a great group of people, gets a lot of stuff done, and it's a very exciting time to be involved with that group and in EMS in general. What TASC is promoting is a mechanism, a way to facilitate communication that we really have not had and probably wouldn't have if it wasn't for TASC. And I think that's an exciting aspect of kind of our community, everybody in the State Offices of Rural Health and State Offices of EMS. It'll be a tool that we can use to facilitate the work that we already are doing and can do it more efficiently, hopefully, with this tool.
Thanks, Matt. And I guess, you know, we can just hit that topic to begin with, largely because Matt is extended into some of these other areas. I know he also is involved with NOSAR, et cetera. We have asked Matt if he would mind chairing this particular group. Now, this can be, you know, we can turn this around. We could do it periodically, choose a new chair, et cetera. But he has very graciously, I understand, agreed to kind of serve in this capacity, and particularly because it was his idea in the first place. He probably couldn't say no, so yeah, we're imposing on him to do this. And again, Matt, we would ask that, you know, you give us as much leadership as possible in terms of making this something that's not duplicative of anything else that is happening in these other groups.
I will do that, and if anybody on the call, I could probably name names, would like to step up and be chair or co-chair, I could welcome the assistance or be happy to kind of pass it off. So this is a matter of getting this thing up and running, and I'd be happy to do whatever I can, and I'm really excited about where this is headed.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe that makes sense, is that if somebody's interested in being a co-chair and wants to volunteer for that, you don't necessarily have to do it now, or maybe a vice chair in that regard, because there may be very much Matt may take vacations, and or he may be doing something else at some particular time. So it'd be nice to have a backup chairperson, because again, you know, we can staff it, but we think it's going to be most effective if the leadership actually comes from the State Flex programs themselves. So if you're interested, why don't you send Nicole an email, and believe me, we'd be pleased to have anybody volunteer. If not, we'll impose on somebody else if they're willing to do it as well. Anybody else on the call?
Hi, this is Kathy from Montana.
Hi, Kathy.
Kathy, what's your last name?
Is it Kathy Lupke?
Yes.
Lupke? Oh, okay.
Okay, and the reason I'm on the call is Montana operates a little bit differently for the FLEX program than the other states. And we, at the Department of Public Health, which is where I'm employed, we hold the FLEX grant, but we subcontract the majority of the grant to the Montana Health Education and Research Foundation, which the primary person that deals with the FLEX grant is Carol Bischoff. And so that's who most of you normally associate with the FLEX grant. I'm on the call just because the department also handles EMS, and we don't want to duplicate things between FLEX and the department. And so I'm just trying to get a feel for how other FLEX programs handle their EMS projects.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Anybody else?
Gary Wingrove's on.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good. I ended up with a little connection time in Toronto, so I'll be on for a little bit here.
Okay. I appreciate it. Tracy, unless there's anybody else on, why don't we talk a little bit about the virtual knowledge groups. There will be five of them. Some of you, we open it up. If you want to participate in more than one, that's certainly okay. But let me turn it over to Tracy to talk kind of roughly about what the virtual knowledge are about and what we're thinking of.
Sure. Thanks. So the five different topic areas, just for information on the virtual knowledge groups, are emergency medical services, this call, financial and operational improvement, health information technology, health system development and community engagement, and then quality improvement. So if you're interested in participating in any of those other groups and you haven't communicated that yet to us, please send Nicole a message, and we'll make sure that you get the call information for the rest of the calls that are coming up this week to kind of launch the other groups. The purpose of these virtual knowledge groups is really, as we talked about, to provide a vehicle for discussing FLEX-related topic issues, build on our knowledge base, contribute information and share resources and models with each other, maybe even in draft form to get comments from each other, and really to serve as key information groups to provide input to each other, to task, to the federal office, to the FLEX monitoring team, who's also invited to participate, and even maybe the policymakers if it's applicable. We see some of the benefits of participating in these groups as being able to provide some collective input and some problem solving together with each other, and maybe a method that we haven't been able to do before, to be able to get comments and edits from a group of people versus maybe just you have a relationship with one coordinator in one particular state, but, you know, to build some relationships with other coordinators or other people interested in the same topic area and get some help with developing ideas or get some information about lessons learned about maybe somebody has already tried that approach with a particular project and they can share their tips with you. And this is really just meant to be a sharing site. As Matt mentioned, it's a method of communicating, a tool for you to use to try out different things and just share information with each other and try to continue to evolve the FLEX program in the format or in the topic area of EMS going forward. So a little bit about how the groups function. They're really meant to be driven by the participants on the call. So, you know, participating in these groups is voluntary, but we're looking for active participation. And so this group really can be what you want it to be, and we're here to provide what support we can at task. Each group will have a chair, and for this one it will be Matt, and maybe even a vice chair too. And then the group will make decisions collectively about how they want to work or what you guys want to address or what topics you want to pursue. The ways that we think you can communicate include conference calls. We feel at task that we can support up to quarterly calls maybe per group. We definitely would be interested in, you know, if there's a need for additional calls because there's some hot topic or something going on, we'll do what we can to support that. If there's a program, a state program, that could also support hosting some calls sometimes, we would definitely welcome that as well. Another way for the group to communicate is via email. We could set up an email group to share with everybody, and you could message each other back and forth on that. And then a new method of communication that we'll be launching is called the FLEX Program Forum. And what that is a web-based interactive forum for you to log in and share information with each other. So on Friday, June 17th, we'll be launching a webinar here at TASC and at 2 to 3:30 Central Time, to introduce this FLEX program forum. So it'll be a kind of demo about how to log in, how to use the forum. So you all get a message about that. What you'll have to do to use this forum is you'll access it through the TASC website. You'll create a login and a username and a password, totally free. And the audience for using the FLEX forum is the same exact audience as what we're targeting with these virtual knowledge groups. So it will be closed to FLEX program personnel, state office directors, ORHP, task advisory committee, and staff from the National Rural Health Resource Center will just be those involved in the web forum. So we're not going to have consultants on there. We really wanted to set up an environment, a virtual environment for the FLEX programs to talk with each other, post materials, post documents, including draft documents, and be able to really network with each other in a web-based format. And we thought that that would be most comfortable, I think, for everybody if we kept it to a limited audience. So we'll be launching a webinar on the 17th to kind of explain more about how to use those forums. And we're hoping that that will be a really great and quick way to share information with each other, kind of monitor what's going on, join in particular conversations, and just share knowledge with each other. The other thing, the other kind of thing coming up in the works to continue to connect this group with each other is at the National FLEX Conference this summer in Portland, Maine, there's time on the agenda for each of the virtual knowledge groups to meet face-to-face. I think it's for about 45 minutes on the afternoon of the first day. And so you'll all have a chance, whoever's there at the conference, to sit down and talk with each other about issues and kind of keep the progress moving forward. Are there any questions at all about functionality of the group or purpose or any concerns?
No, just a contact list, and obviously we'll keep minutes from these meetings, or they'll just be there, we're recording them.
Yeah. We're going to record this first introductory call,
okay.
And we can send out a list, I think, to everyone in the group about who has said that they were interested in participating.
Okay.
I imagine that group, you know, that group list might change and flow in the future. Mm-hmm. We're not anticipating recording any of the future calls. We can. If you want to, if you guys want to keep minutes, we can do that. It's really up to you.
Okay.
Management of the group then kind of going forward from here and what would best serve the group.
And probably if we do take minutes, it probably would be, you know, very brief minutes that would be kind of just the action steps rather than an exhaustive, just again, we, you know, we're kind of stepping out doing this as a new activity, and so it would be, you know, discussion of this, and this is the action step where we suggested doing such and such and such. So I guess unless somebody else wanted to do bigger minutes, just so that we, having five groups, we wanted to keep it somewhat more limited, and so it would just be the key points, which my favorite kind of minutes anyway.
Right, and that works. That's
yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Hey, Tracy.
So that's right
Melinda.
Now we'll schedule, you know, quarterly calls, but as we indicated, if there's a need to have more than that, we can certainly discuss it and possibly support it. Or as Tracy said, if we've already done a quarterly call and somebody would be willing to host it, or at least be the sponsor of it, that would be terrific as well, because I know some folks are able to do that, and we'll do everything we can to support this, and we want to make sure again that the content makes it worth your time being there. Any other questions?
Hey Terry, this is Melinda from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is the right exact moment for this, but I'm hoping that you guys can give us a little bit of an indication. For those of us who signed up for multiple groups, how we might go about prioritizing our participation?
That's a good question, and there's a couple people that actually signed up for every group, which is cool to see. I'm glad everybody's interested in it. But, just thinking off the top of my head, I think that the work of each of the groups is going to change over time, at least envisioning that the groups will be addressing different things at different times, and so your interest level in particular groups might change over time. I think that the forum, if that is a primary method that people use to communicate, is a great way to monitor what's going on in the different topic areas. Our web forum is set up where you can actually select a particular topic area to view all the posts or the discussion that's going on in there, and so that's a way to be able to see what the latest activity has been that at least is showing up in that forum. And we can make sure that if there are minutes that are generated by a particular virtual knowledge group, that those are posted into the forum too. And so that's a way to monitor things.
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, we're going to really work hard to provide value to these meetings. I think we've learned some things over the years, and I think you guys can teach us some things as well about it. But the thought would be, rather than just what I've found on these things, is they really have to be organized. Even if it's organized to the sense that, okay, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, what I find is that when we just kind of leave it open, everybody gets to talk. That may be interesting for some people, but just given the medium, it's not always very effective, and sometimes people feel reluctant to talk on them as well. So our thought would be to use various techniques to kind of organize the calls. And here's a suggestion, give us feedback on it, is that part of the call be educational in the sense that somebody's talking, you know, Larry's talking about his program in Pennsylvania, and maybe Matt's talking about some stuff that he's doing. But rather than just kind of leave it loosey-goosey, that we plan those out so that we've got people who are prepared to talk. You know, we're not thinking of those big presentations, although they certainly could be used for that. But I think if they're managed, you know, so that you're coming in, you're finding out about other state programs, you're volunteering to, you know, do 5 minutes on your program. We could very well bring in, you know, people like Gary can talk on so many different topics, or Dale is another person here. Both of those folks are our experts on emergency medical services. And we could, in fact, invite guests from time to time to talk about various subjects as well. And then the other thought would be, then what we're talking about is a dialogue if we're talking on the phone, so that we're asking questions, we're kind of communicating with each other. That's the concept of the sessions themselves. And because what we're talking about is scheduling, you know, a minimum 4 sessions, if that makes sense, it's not a whole lot of time you're going to have to spend on this. On the other hand, if you go into the forum, the online forum, you could go there at any particular time. I mean, that's kind of the concept. So you could go as frequently as you wanted, and we could get chats going or questions posed, et cetera.
Okay.
We haven't worked it all out yet, but that's why we're – I think it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be helpful, and I also think it's a major – I mean, we know, for example, that ONC is trying to launch something like this. They brought in an expert from Georgia Tech University, a guy named Ned Ellington. And Ned Ellington is one of the national experts on virtual knowledge groups. And so I think he's – my opinion, he's struggling a bit to try to get that sort of a thing going at ONC. But I just personally really believe in these concepts, because I really think flex people can learn best from each other. They have things to share. This is just another venue to get that out. And those folks that are really interested in that are going to participate. And, you know, you just going to have to make choices on that. But even if you did participate in all of them, you know, we're talking, 20 hours total over the year.
Okay. Thanks. That really helps a lot.
Okay. Again, we're really going to rely on your feedback to make this something, because, you know, we know many of you. Some of you are relatively new to us, our task staff, but, you know, part of it is building up kind of a continuity, a trust among the folks. That's why it's important that people meet each other out in when we go out to Maine. Okay, what we'd like to do, the last topic area here basically is, we thought it would be, what are the sort of things that we might want to talk about? What are some of the issues? And what I'd like you to do is not, you know, go totally 30,000 feet about all the EMS issues like workforce, et cetera, but rather come in a little bit in terms of what are some of the areas within the FLEX program that would be most relevant and most important to you. Now, it could be workforce, it could be trauma designation, et cetera. And I think we asked you in the information that we sent out to come prepared this meeting with some thought about what's an area of interest for you. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go around, I think, and just ask everybody, I mean, just come up with a particular area of interest. And if somebody else has already mentioned it, we'll put a second check there. But that'll give us, it's just a very quick and dirty little needs assessment here. And it'll give us a better feel and give Matt a better feel for how we might want to structure agendas, what kind of topic areas we might want to throw out there, et cetera. So I'm going to ask Larry Broner, you want to start, Larry? Can you give one topic? What would be one topic area that you think this group could address, or that would be important to address, or is important to you in your Pennsylvania State FLEX program?
We just had a presentation at our last critical access hospital meeting on paramedicine, so
okay.
I'm interested in learning a little bit more how that operates and how it could benefit certain communities here in Pennsylvania.
Terrific. So, I mean, if you've got a unique one, say it. If you think, hey, paramedicine is really a huge interest for us as well, just mention that and we'll put another check on it. Carlene,
yes.
Do you have a particular...
Yeah, and the previous, I would like a check put next to that for myself. And my topic would be, right now I'm assisting Flex hospitals that want to transition EMS to their hospitals and trying to get a plan set up for them to make it easier for them to basically take over those services and run them through a critical access hospital.
So, are you thinking of the ambulance services, Carlene?
Right.
Okay, great.
That's kind of where we're at because of, you know, we're very rural in these critical access hospitals. We've got about 110-mile mileage between areas where we have emergency services available, so it's quite far.
Okay.
So we're looking at going to the critical access hospitals with the EMS here.
And this might be a particularly important project if we ever get the legislation changed,
mm-hmm.
which would so make so much sense. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Matt. Can I ask Larry to clarify? You mentioned
yes.
paramedicine, I guess. Are you talking about community paramedicine, Larry?
Yes. Yes, Matt.
I just wanted to clarify because the terms are confusing at best. So
right.
I'll make sure that we're all talking
part of the presentation was Wake County in North Carolina, so we can talk later.
They're a good rogue bunch of folks that are making a lot of good changes. So.
Yeah, good.
How about Crystal Barr?
I think the first two that were mentioned previously are great. And then something that we've been hearing in Michigan, and I'm pretty sure it's everywhere, we just conducted a survey, and these were the top two concerns by ambulance managers, was recruitment and retention issues.
Absolutely.
The workforce.
Yep. Were that one and two, or were they?
Yes,
was
this
that
is Carlene Andreola. It's the same for us, recruitment and retention.
Okay. Who was that?
Carlene.
Okay, good. Okay. Shelley.
Sorry, I had to get the mute off. For us, it is educating the rural folks to go up from the basic paramedic, you know, level and move up.
Okay, so it's you know, intermediate, going from basic, you know, EMTs to more advanced life support skills.
Exactly.
Okay. Dale?
Yeah, I think all of those are important. And I also would like to know, how can you get critical access hospitals on fire for EMS to really start working with them? Because in Nebraska, there's kind of a divide there, and Dean Cole, the EMS representative, program manager in Nebraska, likens so many of those volunteer services in Nebraska as little Talibans that are not very open to change and or collaboration, and I think that's true, so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a huge issue, and then I think also community paramedicine is also another big one that we need to be talking to.
Okay, good. I love that comparison. So it's a Taliban.
It's true.
Yeah. Edwina?
Yes. Like I said earlier in my introduction, we are just in the very, very beginning of developing a New England network around EMS. And we're talking about identifying measures that we can use that are more relevant to rural EMS. And I know Pennsylvania and Matt, you have both done a lot of work on this. So I'd like to learn more about how I can support this network, develop these measures both in process and outcomes.
Okay, excellent. Kevin Jacobson.
I'm talking to EMS agencies around the state. Recruitment and retention is probably a top issue.
Okay.
And then also we're really excited about our frequent user project we have going on.
Can Can you just tell us a snapshot of that, Kevin, the frequent user project?
Yeah, we'd heard, and those of you in EMS, I'm sure, are aware of the frequent user issues, those who use EMS and emergency department services disproportionately.
Mm-hmm.
And we put out an RFP about a year and a half ago.
And we had about 12 issues.
For a hospital and EMS collaboration to address this issue. That was for a planning grant. And one critical access hospital in northern Wisconsin and their emergency or EMS service and public health looked at this issue, and they found they identified their top frequent users, both in the emergency department and EMS, and they calculated a significant cost. Top of my head, I think it was over $500,000 a year in unreimbursed expenses. And then we gave them further funding, and they had identified that the frequent users generally fell into two groups, those with behavioral problems, including substance abuse, and those that were simply using the services and the emergency rooms inappropriately instead of going to a primary care physician. And so they funded two positions. One of them is going to be working with each of those two groups, and they've already seen some. In fact, I just talked to them the other day. They have over 26 people enrolled in these programs to divert them from emergency services. So.
That's great.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And in fact, Kevin, you're going to be speaking about that at the Flex conference, if Tracy
yep.
just told me. So terrific. We'll find out more about it there. Megan, did you want to chip in with anything in particular?
Yeah, actually, I just kind of echo what a few other people have said. I'd like to especially echo what Edwina was saying about measures for EMS. Given the pressure that's really being put on particularly government programs right now to be able to show outcomes, to show those outcomes, we need the measures. And if, you know, EMS being an important part of the FLEX program, it would be great to have measures to give to the FLEX coordinators to say, here, if you do these evidence-based activities, use these measures to show your outcomes. So I think I'll leave it at that. I could go on, but... Well, keep it simple.
Okay. Thanks, Megan. Melinda?
I think my comment would echo sort of what Dale was saying. We've done quite a bit of work with what I would call systems of care in our state and trying to get rural EMS providers to play nice with each other, the other rural hospitals, the larger tertiary care facilities, and I think I'd like to learn more about, you know, making those relationships work, how we can, you know, as FLEX coordinators work with our partners on the state level and then on the local level as well to facilitate those relationships.
Okay. Thanks. Matt?
Well, I think to that end, I will add one area of focus of mine probably in the state and something I'm pushing nationally is the idea of combining efforts around trauma system development, stroke system development, and kind of all things cardiac, including STEMI and heart attack. Bottom line is that there are a lot of interest and time and effort and potentially money in each of these areas in isolation, and at least in North Carolina, we're trying to combine that into what's being called a time-sensitive illness and injury level discussion where one path that takes advantage of all the similarities between the systems can be used to ultimately have an outcome that will develop effective and efficient outcomes for each of those different specialized levels of care or types of care. I don't know if that made sense or not, but that's kind of an area that a lot of folks have talked about, and it does bridge to an opportunity where to build relationships with hospitals and EMS and EMS to EMS, and that's an area of focus of mine.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting, Matt. So you're talking more from a systems approach. You know, we have a program out there that kind of combines the trauma and the cardiac life support educational programs. But you're talking more than that, aren't you? Aren't you talking the larger systems of care?
Talking about the actual development of a system from the patient education about what to do when, all the way through to the final destination of either the tertiary care center receiving the patient or the patient being retained in the local community hospital.
Okay, great. Kathy.
Mine were repeats of some of the other ones. Recruitment and retention and community paramedicine were the two big ones.
Okay. Is Gary still on? Is he, Gary, you still with us?
I'm with you. Mine would be, I want to convince RHP that they need to push one of the research centers to do an EMS equivalent to HPSA and MUA. It's really hard to devote and prioritize resources to areas when we don't know which ones are really underserved or not underserved, and some of the keys to recruitment and retention and the other topic areas we're talking about are tied to which ones are served well and which ones aren't. So that's my current thing that I'd like to see us do.
And so, Gary, that's based upon what you see as a shortage of research going on in this topic in general?
Yeah, there hasn't been any. And so what I'd like to do is be able to go to people that can actually pass laws someday and say, we need this program for these kinds of areas because under this system they're shown to be underserved.
Okay.
So if you have a loan repayment program, for example, for paramedics, it would be nice to target that to needy areas and not target it to areas that aren't needy. Or if you have a retention program that a state legislature might fund, like a retirement plan or something like that, to be able to target it based on some kind of scientific data about what's well-served and what's not.
Okay.
All of those things that we use the HPSA and MUA for in other parts of healthcare.
And I think it also fits back into the kind of the measures for rural EMS. I'm not just measuring the effectiveness of the FLEX program in terms of programs for EMS, not just getting ambulances to report more data and information or EMS providers for more data and information, but actually to do some significant research to kind of show the value of some of these, the loans, et cetera. So you're talking pretty broad from what I can hear.
Yeah, yep.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. Somebody else who is not able to join the call but wants to be on this group is Ken Cook from Virginia, and he sent us a bunch of things. I'm going to ask Nicole to give us maybe the first thing on his list. Or
he had just maybe one or two that I would mention. Leadership and management was one of them. I'm not going to get too much into that. He had quite a bit about it, but I am sure you guys know. Another one would be benchmarking. That was probably the two I saw that were the biggest out of his longer list.
Okay. And that's something that that's always been a challenge, which is, you know, we know that there are management and business practices that are out there, whether it's lean process improvement or balanced scorecard use, et cetera. One thing I have to applaud Gary for is Gary has always kind of taken what's happening with the hospitals, what seems to provide value to the hospitals, and transferred that to emergency medical services as well. So leadership is huge. It always starts, it's always the beginning of any significant project or any significant accomplishment. And so providing support for management, giving, you know, benchmarks become a part of that. It's the targets to help measure how effective we've been and how we compare with others as well. So that's what about other ideas that haven't been mentioned that you may think is really important? Anybody else have anything else here that you want to put on this list? I think we heard trauma. I didn't hear a lot of trauma center designation, although, you know, Larry talked about it. Obviously, it's a big thing as well. But and then Matt's talking about trauma systems actually being integrated with others, other systems, which may very well be more appropriate for the smaller rural areas.
That's exactly right, Terry.
And this is Carlene Andriola again. One of the issues that wasn't brought up is education for the National EMS Scope of Practice model. We really are in a position where we need to get people trained for the rural areas to be able to come out and do education. We're kind of at a plateau here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
A topic I don't think we hit, but we should find something to do with is safety.
What was that again? Safety? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was that patient safety?
The field is wide open because we're not doing anything, so... It's whatever you want it to be.
Okay. Well, this is a really good list. As we look at it, there seem to be a whole lot of support for community paramedicine. There seem to be a lot of support for workforce and recruitment, et cetera. Anyway, here's the thought, and I think wasn't this the process we were going to do? Here's the process. We're going to put this list together now that it's complete. We're going to send it out to you, and we're going to ask you to we're going to ask you to score it. I've used this in groups over and over again, and it really does produce some really interesting results. So we're going to ask you to assign a score. We'll put it on the email when we send it out. And what we want you to do is remember there's only a finite amount of time and resources and energy for us to discuss these topics. But what we'd like you to do is to assign a score based on 3, 2, or 1. Higher is better. So 3 is, this is a very important topic that I really want to make sure that we discuss in our group. 2 is, it's an important topic. 1 is, it's more moderate. Actually, let's make it 4. If you don't like the topic at all, give it a 0. I don't think it's worth anything. And what we'll do is that way we're going to be able to, if you give us that really quick feedback, we'll send it out to you, score it really quickly, get it back to us, and we'll have more of a prioritized listing of, that doesn't mean you have to go by the prioritization, but it gives us and it'll give Matt a little bit of a feel for what you think is the most important topics. I would urge you, don't put all threes and then going to help us. Try to divide them up between ones, twos, and threes. I don't think there's anything on here that's not important personally. So if you want to give a 0, go ahead. But I'd ask you to kind of make some prioritization in terms of about a third of them make threes, about a third of them twos, and a third of them ones is somewhat less important if you can. And once we get that, we will tabulate them very quickly. We'll get them right back to you, and it'll help us shape the agenda. It could be that on our forum, we'll throw out a topic area. If it's paramedicine, community paramedicine, for example, maybe that's where we start. It also could help us shape, if we're going to do some sort of an educational event in our next call, it would help us shape that agenda as well.
I think it'll help guide the discussion too for when everybody's face-to-face in Portland.
Yep.
You know, you can, you know, look at the results then and decide as a group what you want to do moving forward with those.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that if we put paramedicine first and we have some of these other things, that there wouldn't be time to talk about some of these other issues. We will make sure that we build in kind of a free time so that if something's come up, you've got an opportunity to just throw it out to the group and get feedback as well. We are pretty close to the end. Matt, do you have any other comments?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for getting on the call and thank you all for the opportunity to do this, that putting your task resources behind something I think is going to be a real valuable resource. But I think Terry said it best, that this is ultimately the group's opportunity to kind of figure out how to share and develop these concepts using the tools that the task is making available. So I'm happy to serve, to help facilitate, but it's ultimately the group's opportunity and responsibility to fill in that tool with useful ideas and communications and ways of promoting flex in EMS.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt. And any final questions from the participants before we leave?
No.
We really appreciate you guys being on the call. You know, help us make this really successful. We'll do everything we can to support you folks, and this is an extremely important topic, and all too often, you guys know, it's the unintended consequence that gets left behind with all the other urgent things that are out there. So we're excited about the group, and again, please feel free to give either Matt or our folks comments. How things are going, and also any suggestions you have on how to make things particularly effective.
Nicole is the lead for this group here at TASS, so you know, direct your communications to her. You can definitely contact Terry or myself, but she's kind of the lead designate here at TASS for this project. So feel free to contact Nicole.
Yeah, and that's, I guess I didn't mention, I meant to at the beginning, is that I have a background in EMS as well. I was an EMT. I directed a regional emergency medical services organization for 4 or 5 years. I was involved in the development of trauma center designation, et cetera, et cetera. So this is something that I care deeply about, and we appreciate you guys showing up today and being part of our group.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.